This is an ABC podcast.
Today, radio from the inside.
Across England and Wales.
This is National Prison Radio.
People describe radio as theatre of the mind, and it takes you away, can tick lots of boxes, can give simple bits of information.
Was alcohol a part of why you came in? Was it something to do with violence? Was it under the influence of alcohol?
If I never had a drink, maybe I wouldn't have had a sniff that night, and then if I never had a sniff, I might not have gone out and committed a crime.
Radio can stir people's emotions. You know, we can do so much with radio.
Hello, Damien Carrick here. Welcome to the Law Report. Today we're revisiting the world's only 24-hour national prison radio station. Here in Australia, prisoners also make radio, but usually what our inmates produce are short programs broadcast on local community radio stations. And in some prisons, there are also in-house radio programs. But we have nothing on the scale of the national prison radio in England and Wales. Phil Maguire is the chief executive.
National Prison Radio is the world's first national radio station for prisoners. It broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to all prisoners directly in their cells across England and Wales. The aim of it is to offer a voice to prisoners, to offer support to people while they're living in prison, and ultimately to contribute to a reduction in reoffending.
And do we know how many prisoners tune in?
Yeah. So we have about 85,000 prisoners in England and Wales. We know that more than 80,000 of them can listen. We know that 99% of them are aware of the service, and that 86% of prisoners listen for just under 10 hours every week.
Okay, that's a pretty good reach. What kinds of programs do you broadcast on National Prison Radio? I mean, I take it there's a lot of music programs?
Yeah, the challenge we've got is that we've got to engage an audience that perhaps aren't ordinarily used to listening to speech radio. And the power in what we can do is in the speech programming. So we broadcast a real blend of music, entertainment and speech. And the music's there because it's easier to make music radio than it is speech radio, but also because it engages the audience. We have specialist music programs, we have sort of generalist music programs, and they engage the audience. But we concentrate our production resources at key times of day. We know when prisoners are able to listen. We know what time they're in the cells. We know what time they're unlocked. So we know when to target our programming at them. So in the morning, we have a breakfast show, which is, like most radio stations, it's an uplifting, upbeat start to the day. It plays music, we have quizzes, but we do pepper the programme with important content and specific messaging. That breakfast show programme is called Porridge.
Porridge.
Radio made by prisoners for prisoners.
Porridge.
Monday to Friday mornings from 7.
National Prison Radio, this is Porridge. It's Aki Mwantono for Get Up Out of the Bed. A shout out to Gloucester. Right, all the boys in Gloucester and HMP the Vern, yeah? Big up yourself every time. You know a little more about that later. Coming up this morning, we've got a lowdown on what's on the soaps this week. And I'm telling you, EastEnders is firing up.
What else could you call a breakfast show on prison radio?
For the audience here who don't remember, there was the 1970s comedy program I think it was Ronnie Barker.
Ronnie Barker, that's right, yeah. And that was named Porridge because porridge was served as breakfast, like a slop in prison for many, many years.
Do you tackle the really tough subjects, things like drug use, suicide, self-harm, violence in prison at the hands of other prisoners, maybe conditions, relations with prison guards, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we cover all of that stuff. That's the mainstay of what we do. So there are dozens and dozens of organisations that want to work with prisoners, government departments, Ministry of Justice departments, but charities, NGOs that cover a range of issues, drug use, health, family relationships, violence, the whole gamut. And before we existed, before National Prison Radio existed, the way they would reach prisoners is by printing leaflets or posters. And when you consider that the average reading age of a prisoner in the UK is lower than the average 11-year-old, it's not a great way of reaching a wide audience. And what we're able to do is we're able to take those messages of those organisations, often very difficult and complicated messages, and turn them into very easily understandable, informative, engaging, entertaining audio products that reach the prisoners, more than 80,000 prisoners, directly in their cells in a way that no other intervention can.
You're a typical lad, are you?
Yeah.
Looking for work.
We all have a good moan, don't we? Especially about work.
Quote, there isn't much for me to do because I've been to prison.
Get real.
In prison, there are loads of opportunities to help you find work when you get out.
Okay, so it's about messaging them, but is it also about having the very, very hard, controversial conversations as well? Yeah,
absolutely, we have some really tough conversations. I think the best example of that I can give you is a partnership that we had some time ago with Victim Support, which is the national charity in the UK for the victims of crime. I think owning up to the impact that your crimes had on yourself, on your victims, on your family, on society as a whole is a crucial part of the rehabilitation process. And we wanted to find a way of doing that on air. So we invited two people into prison, the parents of a young man, Chris Donovan.
My name's Violet Donovan.
I'm Raymond Donovan. We're here to tell our story about how our son was murdered by a gang of youths and left to die in the middle of a road.
He was dragged into the middle of a four-lane road, hit by a car, dragged 40 feet up the road and died in hospital shortly afterwards. And his parents were brave enough to come into the National Prison Radio Studio. And it's a tiny little radio studio in the heart of a prison.
The doctors come back downstairs and tells us, this is 3:30 in the morning, that Christopher died. We lost our son that night.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The day just started out normal. I had two young sons, and at the end of that day, I only had one.
And then the men listening in the studio responded to what they'd heard. And the impact on those men is palpable and it's audible. You can hear it in the programme.
It's like you find yourself welling up because you don't think about other people, do you? I've done what I've done and been to court, got put in prison. I come out, I live my life normal. But for people like yourselves, all of you, you're still dealing with that every day. The same as what it's made me realise that my victim has got to live day to day with what I've done to him.
I'm having trouble holding it together at the moment. I really do feel that emotional about the stories that I've heard.
Before, I wasn't thinking about victims. I was just thinking about, as I was saying, as myself. And now I realised that I was being very selfish and naive to think that there wasn't people out there who
were. But we know that the many thousands of people around the country listening to that were also deeply affected by what they heard. Yeah, so yes, the answer is we do tackle very difficult subjects.
And if we've helped at least one of you, all three of you, or anyone that's listening to this, to realise there are no victimless crimes, all of you have victims. When you realise that, and then you can change. Then you cannot do it again. That's our prayer for you and that's our hope for you.
Face to Face, where prisoners meet victims of crime.
I find shelter in its way.
There's also a book club. I think you've sent something like 400 books to prisoners in 79 prisons, and you get, you know, really interesting celebrities and authors to come in and talk about either their books or what they're reading. Tell me about that project. It's fascinating.
There are two organisations that support it. One of them is the Booker Prize Foundation. And the way that works is we take Booker Prize nominated titles, so really great quality books, and we serialise them across the month. And then wherever possible, we invite the authors into the studio to take part in a book club discussion programme with a group of prisoners who've read the book. It's really powerful stuff.
I heard an extract of Russell Brand talking about books providing an escape. You know, nobody can stop your mind wandering and going wherever it wants. And it's about that, isn't it?
Escape is one thing it can offer, the world of the imagination, because I increasingly realise not many people are free at all anyway. Most people are living in a prison in their mind, and at least you can wander about and, you know, do what you want in that one. I'm not comparing it on a literal level, but I'm just saying, if you're free in your mind, if you're free in your no one can cage that. No one can impede your freedom.
And you mentioned before that the average reading age of a prison was something like 11. So it's also about encouraging people to read. It's actually, you know, very important in terms of tackling some of the issues why they might be there in the first place.
Absolutely. And we have a regular weekly program called The Love Bug. And the purpose of The Love Bug is we play, you know, love songs. But the presenter then, between the songs, encourages people to write letters home to their loved ones. And we get lots of letters about that programme as well, from people listening in prison, thanking us for encouraging them to do that and telling us what a difference it's made to their relationships with their children or their parents or their husbands or wives.
You also have, which doesn't sound very in keeping with my stereotypes about prisoners, you have a yoga and mindfulness programme as well.
Yeah, we do. We do. And it was surprisingly popular. We work in partnership with an organisation that exists just to promote yoga in prisons. And we made this series of programmes. And I guess if you're locked in a tiny cell, 8-foot by 10-foot cell, there's not a huge amount you can do in there. So the idea that you can listen along to a programme and meditate and stretch is, yeah, it's very popular, surprisingly popular.
And a poetry programme?
Do occasionally do poetry on air as well, yeah. There's poetry is very, very popular in prisons.
Got you thinking about the life you had before you went in, the men who treated you right, but you just wanted to be part of the clique. But where was that clique when a judge clipped away your life? And where was that clique when your mum was shedding tears for your lies? See, it hurts me to write these words because it makes us women look like fools.
Contributor to the National Prison Radio program, which has the very catchy title Poetic Justice.
This is the Family and Friends Request Show, broadcast on National Prison Radio and wearestraightline.com. That was One Kiss by Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa. The next track is my pick and it's going to be Black Seasons featuring Khalid. It's a soft, chill tune.
Okay. It's good. Okay, I'll check that out.
It's been a little cold. On RN, online, or available via podcast, you're listening to The Law Report. I'm Damien Carrick, and we're making a return visit to hear what's beaming into jail cells across England and Wales via National Prison Radio. My guest is the CEO, Phil Maguire. Got hit with a winter breeze, and all we like to act tough, what we do it for? Be careful with energy, no need to. So people are locked into their cells for long periods of the day. I believe there's a late night program called Dream Time, which has a lot of chill out tunes, but also a lot of information about how to stay safe, stay calm, stay positive. I imagine late at night when you're locked in, that's the time when the anxiety and the depression will come to the fore.
Interestingly, that the reason prison radio in the UK started in the first place was, it was actually in the early 90s, and it was at Feltham, which is a prison just outside London for young men and boys, and there were lots of problems there, and there were lots of suicides and self-harms. There was and two people called Mark Robinson and Roma Hooper, who were dear friends, and they lived close to the prison. Neither of them had ever worked in radio before, and neither of them had ever worked in prison before. But over a glass of wine one night, they came up with the idea of a prison radio station to keep those young lads company at night when they were at the most vulnerable in a cold, dark cell. So prison radio really sprang from the idea of safeguarding people, of keeping people safe. And we've maintained that throughout. So prison radio has grown and evolved and developed to do many other things. But it's at nighttime when people are at their most vulnerable, at their most lonely, that we think we add the greatest value.
I saw one quote where an inmate wrote to the station to say, quote, "You saved my mind and soul at the start of my sentence." So giving people kind of the tools to stay safe, but also, I guess, the mental support.
Yeah, and it's knowing where to go to us for help as well.
My name is Seymour. As well as working on National Prison Radio, I'm a listener at HMP Brixton.
It all started a while ago when my dad got murdered. I haven't come to terms with his death. Depression hits me every day in my life, to be honest, since then. I wake up and I just feel down, just hating life, hating people in life.
That was Gary you were just listening to there. It was me who was called to his cell last night. He needed someone to talk to. Listeners are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when someone feels that they can't cope, there's always someone they can turn to.
There's many a times I've felt saved by them and they've given me some kind of hope. So without them...
And I think the biggest part of it is that prisons can be places where people don't necessarily feel safe to express their emotions. And we're trying to change that culture with National Prison Radio. We have a team of people who live in prison. Some people call them inmates. I occasionally refer to them as prisoners, but they are people that live in prison. And we give a voice to those people, and some of them are incredibly emotionally intelligent, and they're able to talk with real power and real passion about the importance of owning your feelings and seeking help where necessary. And by giving those people a voice and having them say that to tens of thousands of prisoners, we hope that we're giving other people that live in prison the opportunity to do that, for them to be brave enough to express themselves and seek help where they need it.
And different groups will face different challenges, you know, very, very young people, gay people as well. You've done a lot of work in that space as well.
Yeah, we've done some work there. We made a documentary. So one of the things that we do these days, as well as creating National Prison Radio, we run an independent production company called PRA Productions, and we make content for a whole range of people. But one of our biggest clients is the BBC. We make radio documentaries, award-winning radio documentaries, I should say, for the BBC. And one of the first ones we made a few years ago was called Gay on the Inside. It was presented by Stephen Fry, who actually spent time inside as a young man.
Being gay can be tough. It's getting easier, but we're not there yet. Being gay in prison is a rather different matter. This is a story of what it is to be human, even when you're locked up. To touch, to feel, to need, in a place where love is a dirty word, an unspeakable concept.
It's a dehumanizing place. It's just concrete steel, a prison landing. That's where you live. It's fraught with danger. If you're gay in prison, it's a very difficult place to be.
As a result of that program, and since then, we've had people write to us saying, look, I found the courage to come out, and I was so surprised at the positive response I got from my fellow inmates. Mm. But I'm not pretending it's easy to be gay inside.
Tell me about some of your presenters. You have a range of people, some of whom might fit with our stereotypes of what a prisoner might be and where they might have come from, and some others clash with the expectations that the general public might have.
It's me, Clint. I'm back again. I'm hosting Outside In with alongside Hillary, and today we'll be talking about positive role models and how important they are by keeping you out of trouble.
Thank you very much for that. Coming up after the break, we'll have the answers to our quiz about role models, and we'll be hearing from Tammy, who's currently employed by Virgin Trains through a scheme specifically about getting ex-offenders back into employment.
So Hillary's an incredible guy. Hillary Nehemo Marcus is now a dear friend of mine, and he's very involved with the work of the PRA on the outside. So he did a stretch for a financial tax-related offence, but he came into Brixton and he took to the airwaves, and he's one of the best presenters I've ever heard, and an incredible producer. And he's hosted our annual conference. He's hosted live events that we've done outside broadcasts. He presents regularly. We produce a program in partnership with the BBC on a monthly basis called Outside In, which is people who have prison experience talking about life outside in order to help people inside. And Hillary's the regular presenter of that program.
And I believe that, you know, telling people what it's like on the outside and offering them examples or stories of people who have actually gone on to make it and stay out of prison.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of what it's about. And we have to be careful here, because just picking examples of people that have done exceptionally well and singing their song, you know, it's useful and it can be inspiring. But for a lot of people listening, it's unrealistic. If you can't even read, if you don't have any self-respect, if you don't have any, you know, education or family support, finding out about somebody who's gone on to present programmes for the BBC, for example, isn't an inspiration. It's unattainable. So what we do is we do hold people up as examples of success, but we also talk about the very real challenges that people face, the day-to-day simple things like opening a bank account, claiming benefits, like finding accommodation and combating homelessness. We talk about simple things. They're not simple, they're huge. They're huge things, but really important things. So yeah, we do both. We talk about inspirational stories and we talk about very real challenges. And Hillary's fantastic at doing that.
Can I ask, have any of your presenters gone on to work in the mainstream media once they've left prison?
Yeah, this is something we have to be really careful of, because there are many thousands of young, white, middle-class people graduating from universities every year with degrees in media. They struggle to get jobs in the mainstream media. They struggle to get jobs at the BBC. So one thing I'm very clear about is not unrealistically raising aspirations of people who, if they spend 6 weeks or 6 months working on National Prison Radio, it doesn't mean they're going to walk out and get a job. But at the same time as managing aspirations, we also don't want to, you know, keep people's aspirations down. One thing we're clear about is the skills that you gain while working on National Prison Radio will help you in whatever you go on to do in life afterwards. You will learn how to work as part of a team, how to be on time for work, how to meet a deadline. Your literacy and numeracy and computer skills will develop, and they're all things that'll be valuable whatever you go on to do. But yeah, there are examples of people who've gone on to do incredibly well, and Hillary that we mentioned earlier on is one of those. Hillary has since leaving, he's presented a documentary for BBC Radio 4, and he's got a really bright future ahead of himself.
There's also one presenter, his name's Julian, and I believe he's actually a lawyer.
Yes, Julian worked with us in Brixton, and I think the interesting thing about Julian is when we interviewed him. So if you're serving a sentence in prison and you want to work on National Prison Radio, you have to apply and be interviewed. It's like applying for a proper job. And when our station manager interviewed Julian and asked him what he felt he could add, what value he could add to National Prison Radio, I believe that he said he didn't feel he could add any value. Fortunately, our station manager saw that he could add value and gave him a job on National Prison Radio. And he went from strength to strength. And he's another one who stayed involved with us.
National Prison Radio's rock show.
Turn it up loud.
Yes, my friends, it is that time of the week again. My name is Julian and this is The Rock Show. As always, start off with a massive shout out to The Rock Show family, each and every one of you guys and girls up and down the country.
Dear National Prison Radio, I'd like to say thanks to all the mates I've never met. I don't want to dampen you with my problems, but I almost certainly owe my life to The Rock Show. None of you know how deep a hole you pulled me out of this week. Music is the ointment for the soul, and friends are the family you choose. Gareth.
Phil McGuire, I understand that it's a 24-hour radio station, but none of it is actually live. Does that mean the content gets vetted? So you may well ask the tough questions, but might they be edited out in that vetting process?
There is no vetting. There's no. So the prison service aren't involved in listening to what we do in advance. And the reasons we pre-record things are logistical more than anything else. So, for example, tomorrow morning's breakfast show will be recorded this afternoon, because when the breakfast show's on, prisoners around the country are locked in their cells. Our programmes are all co-produced by prisoners and they're all presented by prisoners. And so we can't do a live programme at breakfast. They're not available to come to the studio. So yes, we pre-record everything. We do edit things, but not for censorship, just for quality. We take out the ums and the ers. We take out questions that didn't get a great answer. We're in control of that. The National Prison Radio team are in control of that, not the government.
And how critical can you be of prisons and prison authorities?
What we decided very early on with National Prison Radio is that it wasn't going to be a platform for complaining, for moaning. So we practice something that we like to call constructive journalism or solution-focused journalism, where we look at the issues and we do cover the stories. And we use good journalism, but we look at the negative things that are happening and then we try and analyse that, but we also try and analyse the solutions, the responses that are happening. But from the beginning, when we set up the first station in the first prison, we invited the governor into the station and said, look, we will build this radio station in this prison if you agree to coming into the studio on a regular basis to take part in a program called Governor's Questions. And there are conditions attached to this. We're not going to show you the questions in advance. We're going to do this properly. This is good journalism. We're not going to allow you to refuse to answer any questions. And we're not going to let you edit or censor any of your answers. And he agreed to that. And that's really fixed how we operate from then on. We exist for lots of reasons, but one of the reasons we exist is to hold power to account in the same way that the ABC exists to hold power to account. So we ask difficult questions of those in power. And it's interesting because we are heavily reliant on the Ministry of Justice, on the prison service for our relationship. We exist within their buildings and we have a really strong partnership with them. We're heavily reliant on them, but we're really, really clear that we need to maintain our journalistic integrity and our editorial independence.
Phil McGuire, I'm really, really interested because you have this 24-hour station, but the only people who can listen to it are prisoners. How does it work? It's people on the outside in the wider community can't hear it. How is it broadcast just into prisons and why?
So the how is simple. We broadcast via satellite. There are satellite dishes on the roof roofs of every prison in the country, and they're cabled down. And each cell has a TV set in the corner. And each TV set has 10 channels available. 9 of them are television channels, and 1 of them is an audio channel called National Prison Radio. So we broadcast via satellite to in-cell televisions, is how we get to them. Now, the why is an interesting question. When we started doing this a decade or so ago, the government, quite rightly, the Ministry of Justice, quite rightly, was a little bit nervous of what we were doing. They weren't really sure how this was going to work or whether it was going to work. So I said, look, don't worry, we will broadcast just into cells. We will broadcast just into prisons, and we will be very, very careful about what we do. So that was part of the reason. And my thinking was that we would build the trust, we would build the service, we would get really good at what we were doing, and then we would make the station available to a wider audience. So we could reach, for example, the families and friends of prisoners. But as we carried on, as we developed our service, as we started to win awards, and we've won numerous awards in the criminal justice, the charity, and most importantly for me, in the media and radio sectors, as we realised how good we were at doing what we do, I realised the power lay in the fact that people making the programmes were making them for prisoners. So everybody, when they put a fader, when they open a fader in a studio and start speaking into a microphone in National Prison Radio studios, when they're taking part in a discussion on air, when they're writing a script for National Prison Radio, they're doing so knowing they're doing it just for prisoners. And I feel that if we were broadcasting to a wider audience, something small but significant would change in their approach. And if they knew, for example, their family was listening, or if they knew that the tabloid newspapers were listening, or if they knew their ex-gang members were listening, they might not be as open and as honest and as emotionally available to the audience as they are knowing they're just broadcasting to prisoners. So now I have no interest in making National Prison Radio available wider, but we are developing a multimedia on-demand service called Straight Line, available for anybody that wants it.
Phil Maguire from National Prison Radio, thank you so much for speaking to the Law Report on Radio National.
My pleasure, Damien. Thanks for having me.
Back in the days, but you know what I'm saying? Christmas is coming, so I'm not lying. I feel certain kind of vibes. I want everybody to be up and cheerful and lovable. And Christmas is coming, so we don't have to be down just because of where we are. We can still make it what it can be. But right now, but got to give, because the soul doctor's in the house. So let's hear it for James Brown.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto.
And of course, there is a lot happening on a smaller scale across Australia's different state and territory prison systems. For example, the West Kimberley Regional Prison Radio Hour is produced and presented by inmates, and we have programs broadcast on community stations throughout the country, such as Jailbreak in New South Wales and Beyond the Bars in Victoria, an Indigenous program. We have a link to those initiatives on our homepage, as well as information on National Public Radio in England and Wales.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto.
Thanks to producer Anita Barrow and to sound engineer Tim Simons. Don't forget you can listen to The Law Report anytime, any place by subscribing to our podcast at the ABC Listen app. I'm Damien Carrick. Talk next week.
Me. Hit it. Hit it. You see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.